Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 569. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Go Dolphins! Just kidding.
I mean, that doesn't help or hurt you, I guess. It doesn't help or hurt you.
No.
Earl is here.
569 is also the amount of space you need to install Forza Horizon 5 on your Xbox Series X. So keep that in mind.
It's not quite that much, but yes, it's a beefy game. And Jeff is here.
It's worth every gigabyte.
I mean, I agree. It's going to sit on my hard drive for a while. I will have to move other stuff to position around it. Yeah. Guess we should jump right into that. That's the biggest game of the week.
Apparently it's Xbox's biggest launch ever.
That's crazy.
It was kind of funny because I was reading a thread, updates over the weekend, because it had I forget what they call it. It was not early access, but the premiere.
Something like that, yeah. The Ultimate Edition.
So before the game launch, people were like, oh man, it has 300,000. I think it hit something 2 or 3 million people before the game was officially out that were playing it over the weekend with this early access stuff, which is...
That's crazy because all those people had to pay at least for the DLC for that. You couldn't just get that with Game Pass. You had to either buy the Ultimate Edition upgrade or actually outright buy the game. So
it's also kind of funny because I saw people complaining that they didn't get it with Game Pass. You're already getting the full game for free. Right. You're complaining that you have to wait until your launch day. People are this betrays Microsoft's day one. I'm like, no.
No, day one is still on Tuesday when it releases in stores for everybody else.
And that's when you got it.
People will complain about anything.
Yep.
That game's out. I played some. Jeff has played some. Tony, you were going to play some.
I'm playing some right now.
And Earl did not because it takes up half your hard drive space. It's more Forza Horizon, guys.
It is. It feels exactly like the previous game that I've spent so many hours playing. Not that I mind.
They've gotten the formula down. There are some tweaks I noticed, just in the way they presented the title card happens really quickly. They get you through the tutorial. It's not the tutorial in 4 is chunky. It goes through all 4 seasons and it takes a little while to get moving. This just here, we're going to do 2 or 3 things. Here's the title card. Get at it. Go play the game.
Which is good.
But yeah, it's nice. What else did I see? Your character's voice now? That's weird. I guess it's not as weird as your character not being voiced and just...
They ever talk, though?
They talk. The character talks all the time.
Oh, no.
Really? I didn't notice.
they'll be like, hey, you have to go here. You might not notice because, in past games... They've had conversations around you, but in this one, the character is actually responding. Before they'd be hey Chris, you should do this, and then somebody else will jump on and be yeah man, that's really cool, but now it's your character responding, and you can pick. There's 2 different voice options, I guess, that you can choose. It's a little weird that they're trying to give it this weird characterization, and I don't know if it works, but it doesn't really hit gameplay at all, so who cares?
Yeah, I don't know.
They've done it's one of the things. Have you guys unlocked any more of the festival? When you earn a certain amount of points, it goes here, go And like you, and it's like in 3 where you would build like another portion of the festival.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, and they give you like this, like, you know, it's like this scripted event, like race up a volcano or whatever. Then when you get there, it's like, here's like a mini mission to go do. Like, here's some like stuff. Like, it's not anything like major. It's like, drive here and pick up a, like, it was like a heat resistant suit or something I had to get. Which adds it to your wardrobe for your character. And then it was like, you know, knock over 5 steam vents, drive into the middle of this thing and put down the seismometer, like, you know, just weird thing, but it like adds to just like, drive here. Okay, now you're done. Like, now there's like these like mini quests to do to complete the thing all the way. Which I thought was like neat.
There is so, I mean, and I've played all these games, and even still, there's like so much going on the menu and the map that I am like fucking confused sometimes. Like,
the menu is ugly.
It's just a, like, one, I go into my car collection, and then there's like all these cards in there, and it's like, earn one more thing to unlock this prize. It's just like, the amount of stuff like that in the menu is kind of overwhelming and confusing to me, but
yeah, there are bars filling up for everything you do in the game.
Yeah.
Everything you collect, everything you knock over,
every all flamingo the tricks, you flatten.
Yeah. There's just like ton, like there are bars just filling up for everything.
I got a barn find earlier and I was like, wait a second. How do I unlock the barn? Like, you know, I found the car and everything, and then they're like going to work on it. I'm like, wait, how? Like, I'm like looking at the menu, like, where the fuck do I get it? You have to like go back to like the.
You have to go back to the main hub,
like, the festival place or whatever, and then you could go into barn finds, and then it wasn't ready for me yet. Another thing that happened to me earlier, like an hour ago, like. I went and did an event. It was some like championship something. I beat that event. I didn't beat it actually. I came in like 6th. And that's like best I could do. Then I went to go,
which give you credit for it. Yeah.
But then I went to go do another race, and it's like, oh, do you want to end your championship? This will, you know, lose any progress that you have. I'm just like. What? I didn't realize, like, I like locked myself into some series of events, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Championship, like, yeah, it's like 3 or 4 races, and you have to do them all together. Like, if you quit out of that,
then it sucks.
Yeah.
But I quit out because I didn't do good in it. And, you know, the single events I'm doing, I'm coming in first, or, yeah, if I don't come in first, I usually will redo it. I know you don't have to, I guess, but.
No, and that's kind of like the racing is maybe the weakest part of the game. Like, it's fine, like, it's good, like, the racing is good, but it's like everything else is so much fun.
It is a really good game. Like, again, it's not like doing anything too new here. It's kind of been the same game for a few now, but
yeah,
it's a good fucking game, and it looks incredible. Yeah, I'm like way into it, loving it.
Are there still it's like in 3 and 4 there were like these points you like Vista points, or I can't think of what they were called in
beauty points or something.
Yeah. Are they, have you guys discovered any? Are they in the game?
Okay. I'm not.
I hope they add, because that they were always cool, like these like cool overlooks.
Do they mark them on the map, or like,
yeah, they're like these like, them? Yeah, you like you drive by and like the purple icon will pop up that like okay. It's there, and like you go up and you press X, and they'll give you like a little bit, like the announcer will come on and talk about it maybe a little bit, and they'll show your character outside the car looking like and gives you like this nice picturesque, you know, snapshot. But I always like those because they're like it's just another thing to collect, but they're
like kind of cool looking. Like that. Yeah. Of course, you know, every barn find, like, to me, that's Hey, you know what amazes me about the barn finds? They're like, it's here on the map. And you're like, okay. And it's like a, you know, it's like a purple circle. You could drive around that purple circle for a fucking while and not find this fucking barn.
Yeah, it's a large area.
And it's even larger than you think looking at it, too. Mm-hmm. And then, like, and now, like, in this one anyways, like, there's so many, like, houses scattered in the countryside that, like, you're like, okay, is that it? Like, you know, I found, like, four or five different spots within the circle. I'm like, oh, that's gotta be it. Nope, it's just a random house in the middle of... I love fucking barn finds. So cool.
I love, like, as I said earlier, like, everything you do, there's a counter for, but, like, I specifically, like, as you're driving, like, all right, you just, like, you know, you just drove on road 70 of 500 and however many roads are in the game. And then it'll flash up, like, who, like, on your friends list is ahead of you.
It'll be, yeah. Like,
so, like, for a little bit, it was like, you know, Walt has driven 28 roads and I was at 17 or whatever. So, like, I'm like, all right, well, I can drive more roads than Walt tonight. And you just keep going until, like, that meter fills up.
here's one bad thing that I want to know if it's happening to anyone else. It constantly keeps telling me I've been disconnected.
Yeah.
And it does this countdown thing, like, 10, 9. And I'm like, reconnect, dude, go for it. And it fucking doesn't. Like, I'm like, do I have to restart the game? Like, what is going on here? It's constantly telling me that.
No, I just leave it alone. Like, just continue on. Like, it doesn't seem to affect anything because you can play the game offline, but it does seem to be having some, like, weird server connection issues.
Okay. So it's not just me.
No.
I wouldn't surprise me if there were too many people on their server and it's causing them issues.
Yeah, I, as you said, like, what, it's their largest launch. I think Earl said there was, like, 2 or 3 million people playing before the game even came out. Like,
yep.
They probably were not expecting however many people are playing currently to be on there and concurrently on there, too. So, have you guys played any of the multiplayer stuff yet?
No.
These games, I will never play multiplayer. I'm going to get destroyed if that happens.
No, but there's
can't, like, be messing with your rewind.
the rewind is kind of like, if you do any of the multiplayer races, the rewind's gone. But there's, like, I think they actually renamed it to Playground Games this time, and it'll show up on your map every once in a while, and you can drive there, and it'll put you in a queue, and it's not like competitive, like, it's like cooperative, so you're all, like, trying to do a certain thing in the game, and then it earns you, like, on one of those menus that it has, you know, earns you points to earn something there. I don't know. There's bars everywhere. I haven't figured it all out yet.
Bars are great.
They're different bars. Earl, different bars.
I don't know. I've never tried the multiplayer, but from the way you've described it, some of it sounds pretty awesome.
I mean, there's also, like, if you just want to actually race against other people, there's that too. But there's, like, lots of cool co-op stuff. There's also the Eliminator, which is the battle royale.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on the map. Yeah,
it's the goofiest thing. I haven't played it in this, but in four, like, basically you go in, you pick a car, and or you get assigned a car. It's like a starting car, and then you drive around trying to find other cars that you can, like, hop into, and they're faster. And then when you get near somebody, the game will either, I think either you have to challenge them or the game challenges them for you and puts you two in a race. And then whoever gets to the point that they've picked, that the game has picked for you first, stays in and the other one gets eliminated. And it does that for, like, whatever, it's like the 60 or people or whatever, until it gets down to two. It's a nutty, like, but it works. It's, like, crazy. Like, there's this car battle royale, but they, like, made something that actually works too. So, yeah, it's a ton of fun. Earl, if you find space, you should give it a shot.
Well, I think the biggest issue is, if I'm not mistaken, those games can't run off your external. They have to be on your actual hard drive, right?
Yeah, if you're running a series, if a Series X or S game, it has to run off of your hard drive. There should be an Xbox One version, but I don't know why you'd want to run that one.
Yes, I don't. I can you even download the Xbox One version?
I'm not sure. I don't know if there's a way to denote it. So I think it has that smart delivery, right? So it just knows what system you're running.
Yeah, I think it just optimizes.
Yeah.
So you actually pull out your old Xbox One, install it to an external hard drive, and then plug it into your Series X.
I guess I could get rid of Halo Master Chief Collection. I think that would be a one-to-one transfer, essentially.
Basically, yes. They're about the same size. So.
You should play it.
I will probably get around to it. It was just like I was looking at Game Pass yesterday. I also wanted to install San Andreas, and I was let me just do this. It's like 112. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening today.
I assume San Andreas is much smaller.
I actually didn't even pay attention to San Andreas, but yeah,
San Andreas is like 20 gigs, 22 gigs, something like that. GTA 3 is 5 gigs.
5, right? And Vice City's 10.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Those games kept getting progressively bigger and more complex. San Andreas is like a huge map.
That was what was amazing about that is how quick they were putting those games out and yet how much they would advance between those, you know. Anyways, what, Earl?
Oh, no, I assume we'll talk about it in a bit, but I did hear that was one of the complaints with San Andreas. It's kind of like Ocarina of Time, because they got rid of some of the fog, you realize like how small the actual town is now. Because
the actual main city? I haven't played San Andreas yet, but what I played of Vice City, I don't know, seems good.
Yeah.
The map seems big enough to me. So that's also out. GTA. The Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Definitive Edition, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
With San Andreas out on Game Pass and GTA 3 out on PS Now. Vice City, you have to pay for.
So. The one that people really want.
Sure. Has anybody played San Andreas?
Not yet.
I am curious about Vice City, because I feel like I remember when it first came out. Like one of the big appeals of it was big into 80s nostalgia.
Yeah. Like immediately the credits are like they got this feels right.
Yeah, and I guess what I was going to say is that I think 80s nostalgia has kind of been a big thing the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's still, like, because I mean, maybe I'm mistaken. I do remember Vice City being the one people love the most, but I've always felt like San Andreas was the better game.
San Andreas definitely has more. There's more to do. There's more activities. It's definitely blown out more. The story is probably a little bit better. Like, this is basic. Like, the story in Vice City is, you know, it's a regular mob story. Oh, guy goes down to Florida for a drug deal and shit goes bad and he has to get the money back. And along the way, it becomes Scarface. Like,
yeah, it's... Yeah. San Andreas. Back in the day, I think there are things about San Andreas that made me like it the best because, its map is definitely bigger than the other two. It had that whole like casino city. And if I recall correctly, it's like either late in the game or after you beat the game, you got a jetpack, which was fucking cool.
Oh yeah, it's late in the game. You go visit that there's like this hippie guy that he flies planes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has a jetpack mission. Yeah, that game's goofy. It is maybe the goofiest of the three.
I do like these early ones, though. Like,
it's so good.
I think I was like saying this last week, is that, like, you know, everything that, like, you would see GTA become is kind of in GTA 3, but it's like before they considered them important games. So it's just kind of like fun. It's like a game, you know. It's not, especially GTA 3, what I've played of it so far, it's like it wastes no time just getting started and just giving you missions and go do stupid shit. Like, more and more, they thought that they were telling, like, you know, they're writing the great American novel and shit. Like, by the time they got to 4 and then 5, you know, I don't know, just like,
I think 5 at least gets back to some fun.
Yeah, but yeah.
4's a little over serious.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, you mentioned like the jetpack and stuff, and it just made me like, yeah, St. Rose essentially what took over that classic GTA format.
Yeah. I kind of prefer that. Like, I kind of prefer that older style where they're just kind of fun open world games. Like,
how much of 3 have you played?
A decent amount. I have not unlocked any more of the map. You know how they like will wall off the islands.
Yeah, so you're still in the. Well, I mean that's. Yeah, I think there's like 3 sections of the map, right? Yeah. And it's like a third of the way through before you even unlock the second part of New York.
Probably getting close though. Part. I've played probably at least a dozen missions so far. It's so funny though. Like, I forgot how many of the missions were just like chase this fucking person around in a car until you damage their car enough to kill them. Like, it's kind of what the missions are.
And wonderful game design.
A pain in the ass.
Yeah. So like immediately they are more complex in Vice City. Like you're like it's just like it's not that. Like it's a. And even it's like the first few missions are really just tutorial stuff, but it's still like it's not just like you're out of your car way more.
Interesting.
But they're also trying to do that, you know, Goodfellas, Scarface type thing, because they're trying to do more of a cinematic. Your character talks in Vice City. There's a little more personality there.
Yeah, I kept creeping towards, you know, what the newer ones are like. You know, by the time you get to San Andreas, they're really trying to go for something.
Yep.
Yeah, 3 is just very, very basic. Although it's cool, like, I've already recognized, you know, funny thing, I never really played 3 except on other, like, people, like, friends' PS2s. Like, so I've never, like, owned 3, I don't think, and played through it. But right away, I'm, like, noticing the cast members because their voices are so distinct. Like, the first guy giving you missions is Joe Pantoliano. The second guy, I mean, it's got to be Michael Rapaport. Like, it sounds exactly like him. It's, I don't know, it's just funny. Like, some of the people, like, some of the, you know, kind of bigger celebrities they got right off the bat with 3. Like, it's crazy, dude.
Have you noticed any graphical issues? That seemed to be the big talking point this morning. Like, I saw a lot of people posting screen grabs of San Andreas and just, like, characters.
All I've seen all day is people complaining about this. Not just the graphics.
It's so ugly. It looks terrible.
And it's like, one, like, the games, I mean, the character models look funky in the old ones. Some of the comparisons I've seen today, I'm like, yeah, that looks fucking stupid. But I don't know.
In game, like, I don't think they look that bad. Like, I mean, no. I guess, like, if I were to look at them, take a screenshot, and just be like, yeah, like, look at this. But as they're like animating and like in the cutscene or moving, like, they seem fine. Like, it's not distracting or anything.
It seems like San Andreas got it the worst, and which, you know, so we have not played that one yet. Like, sure, that's the one I'm seeing in all the screenshots.
Yeah.
Of San Andreas, so I'm like, I will say this, when it starts raining at night, it's like impossible to see what the fuck is going on. Like, I don't know if you've got. I mean, again, I'm playing three, so I don't know if my city's a little better, but the rain looks like shit, and it just becomes so dark that all I'm seeing is the rain on the screen. It's not great.
But I think it rained like during the day, so it was just like this gray overcast. Like it didn't look terrible.
It looks funky in three, but like I don't know, dude. Like. If you ask me right now, would I rather play this version of these games or the originals? I would take this version. Like, guess what? I'd have to sit through a fucking 5-minute load screen to start playing the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. People are a little.
I think they're. I don't know. Sure. Maybe they're a little. Maybe they're a little lazy. The remaster side of things. I don't know. I mean, I think the cities themselves look great. Like, environmentally, it looks phenomenal. But
it looks better than it did.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Like, I could take out... I have the box set right now. I could put them into my PS2. I think these look better.
Yeah. It's just this thing now where, like, the day a game comes out now, it's already been completely dissected by someone on the fucking internet, and then that just becomes
that's the narrative.
That's what everyone, yeah, it's like, dude, 99% of people have not even played this game, but everyone has made up their mind already because of what they saw on Twitter or YouTube or whatever.
And just the fact
I'm not saying that, like, you know, this collection couldn't be better in some way, but
for sure, like, we can get into that, but yeah, like I like, just as you said, like, we can play the originals, right? We have the systems, we can play them.
Yeah.
But like, this is just way more convenient. Also, it loads faster, it looks a little bit better, there's accessibility options that weren't available originally. Like, yeah, it still handles a little like shit.
Yeah.
The cars are really, really loose, I think. But that's kind of how they were.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know... Like, were people expecting it to play like GTA 5? Like, that's not what the... These are remasters of PS2 and Xbox games. These are not...
I think people did. I think, you know, part of it is, it's like the way it was marketed and you know...
I guess...
New aim controls...
It was just kind of announced like a month ago, so it wasn't like it was a heavy like, oh, this is a reimagining from the ground up.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think that's always going to be a problem with a remaster or remake or re-release. It's like you want it to be like how you remember it being, without it actually changing anything. And I think there are people, like I said, some of the campaigns I saw were funny. Like, yeah, some of the character models are dated, but that was what the game looked like back then. It's not like they went and changed a ton of them.
Right.
I think some of the character models got best because what these are three big ass games, and what they did is they just like let a computer program like upscale the graphics, yeah, and so the character models got some of them got fucked up in doing that because, you know, and I'm sure they paid attention more to like what the main characters look like, but some person that shows up for one scene might look fucked up and they didn't fix it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yep. Like, to me, I mean, I've only played an hour, but my enjoyment hasn't been, you know, dampened by they look a little bit waxier, and some of them are funky looking.
My only problem with these remasters so far, and all I've played is part three, but the only problem I've really had with it is Forza Horizon 5 is so compelling. Yeah. I did play, like, most of today, I played GTA 3. Then about an hour before we're about to record, I'm like, I'm playing more Forza. Forza looks so good.
What's really great about Forza 2, though, is, like, you can hop on and do, like, a couple events.
Yeah.
And like, you're making progression, and, like,
yeah,
I'm good. Like, I've done, like, I got my little fix in, got my hit, and I feel good. So my big complaint with GTA is They're calling these the definitive edition and like whatever with the visuals. But my bigger problem is the soundtracks. Like, they are missing a bunch of songs. I don't like you calling it the definitive edition when you've like taken out like 15, 20 songs from Vice City and San Andreas.
Yeah, I was just looking at that though. But like,
it,
that would still mean that there's like 90% of songs.
There's so many songs, but yeah, like not having like Billie Jean like show up on the radio, like that was like the, it's like a big piece of that, like not having Ozzy show up on like the rock station or you know, Quiet Riot show up on that. Like, those songs are like songs I remember hearing driving around.
Certain ones that you were hoping would make it. That I mean, yeah, I know Michael like, Jackson's like a big one, but yeah, that's, I mean, that's another one that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, like licensing for that is probably massive. But like, that's like such a big feel of like the 80s to me is you know, those 80s Michael Jackson albums, and to like remove two of them here. Two of the songs, it's a little weird, but yeah, like that's it. It's just the soundtracks that, like, that's the only real problem I have currently with the game. So
it's still
a problem, like, because like there's so much music, so many talk, like talk stations, and which are genuinely funny.
Yeah, and still like, you know, I've because in GTA 3. You tell me, it was like there are a lot of good licensed music in that one, because I've not stumbled on much. I'm like, oh yeah,
no, like I think, okay, like for me it was like Vice City and San Andreas were like huge with the licensed music. I can't name anything that was on 3 soundtrack. I'm sure I know songs, but I can't name anything.
So I'd say most of the time so far I've been listening to the Chatterbox FM, which is the talk station in 3, and you know, this is something that, you know, people have always appreciated about these games, but like how good the satire is, like it just, like, it seems like things that were ahead of its time, or it's just like things that have gotten worse in American culture, but it's it's just, it just fits so, like, so the talk station, the Chatterbox station, it's like lots of people calling in with their insane conspiracy theories. Like there's someone talking about how
it's no longer satire, it's real.
Yeah, he's talking about how he was born naked, and he's gonna die naked, and he's gonna live naked. He's like, I'm fucking gonna be naked. And the DJ's like, well, what about winter? You know, don't you get cold and whatever? He's like, winter was invented by the clothing companies. there's one guy talking about what's so great about America. And he's like, it's like freedom and guns, mostly guns.
Mostly guns.
And now that's a whole political party.
Yeah.
Oh, I had one talking about how gangs are made up because they're made up by the corporations or whatever, because what actual American wouldn't want to work a minimum wage job and do right by their parents? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's like crazy stuff. It's just, it's funny in a sense that, like, yeah, like 20 years ago, these people that are not from America pegged America pretty fucking wonderfully.
This is less like not like political. I think some lady was calling and complaining about video games, and she's like, you know, my kids have been playing video games, now they're running around the house looking for coins. And she's like, you know, my son Timmy got hit by a bus, and then he just asked where's the reset button. Like, I don't know, it's just like goofy shit like that, and fucking, it started to loop for me a little bit already. Like, I've heard that bit twice now with the video game stuff, but I love the radio stations. Yeah.
Which, some of that makes sense, right? Like, because you said GTA 3 is only 5 gigs. So there's, and as, like, that's the thing. Like, San Andreas has a bigger soundtrack than Vice City did. Like, a lot of that, a lot of the real estate for the data is audio.
Yeah.
They recorded more lines of dialogue for Vice City and San Andreas, and as such, like, the file sizes just got bigger and bigger.
It's kind of making me happy that I started with 3. I really do think if I started with Vice City, that going back to 3 would just be like, well, Vice City's better, so...
Yeah, I think I'm going to follow, like, your logic there. Like, I tried out Vice City, like, played a couple missions.
Got your little fix in, and...
But yeah, it's like, I think I want to go play 3, because, like, if I finish Vice City, it's like, I'm not going to want to go back to the more basic 3. I want to move on to San Andreas. It might be bad for, like, Tony and Walt and Earl. They're going to play San Andreas because it's free on Game Pass.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you said it's free. I mean, that's all right. I mean, I don't care about the order.
Right. No, there's something about Vice City. I do feel like Vice City and GTA 3 are the more basic, like, classic GTA experience, and then San Andreas is starting to creep into the modern era. So, yeah. I don't know. It's there's something about, like, that, the classic GTA 3 Vice City design. Like, I don't know. Something like just it's just basic and fun. And then Saints Row started to carry that flame from there or whatever, you know?
Yeah, because I think Saints Row was that was a 360 game, right? That was not
the first one. Yeah.
And I think it came out before 4?
Yes. I want to say it came out a little after San Andreas. I want to say it's like 2000. Like, it was early on in a generation.
Yeah. I know for sure, yeah, and it was like a year at least before 4 came out. And I liked that first Saints Row, but that first Saints Row is really just doing, it's just like,
it's just doing
here's your GTA clone. Yeah,
that's San Andreas. And
I like even, that, though. Like,
even 2 was like that. 2 it was near the end of 2 where they're like, oh, we're going to really embrace the silliness, and then 3 went full hog with it, and then 4 happened.
I love 4. 4 is so stupid.
See, I like the early
Saints Row. I think 4 was too stupid.
I couldn't get into 4.
I could see that. I could certainly see that. Just, like, I just love, like, the total ridiculous of 4. Like, you're flying. Like, at some point, you are a damn superhero. And you're just flying.
I mean, you start off 4 as a superhero. That's the problem. Yeah.
It has a great opening.
I get them confused. Is that the opening in space where you're saving the president?
You are the president in 4.
Okay, yes, you are the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's the get out of hell? This one that's like you're like, maybe it's the end of a game where you end up in space. That I'm like, okay. Yeah. I just
I think it might be the end of 3 where you are in space.
Okay.
On Mars.
Yes, because 4 then it has the alien invasion as
part. Yep.
Okay.
Those games are fun.
All legitimate stuff that happened.
Yes, these, exactly.
That all sounds fine. Makes sense to me.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that new Saints Row. It's like a return. Like, it'll be a modern return to just dumb fun. That type of stuff. So
that early next year?
Who knows? Yeah,
March.
For some reason, I thought it got delayed recently, but maybe
could be. Everything's been delayed recently, so
it's too bad that 2022, the entire year, is just dedicated to Elden Ring.
That's fair.
And Total War Warhammer 3. Come on.
It is scheduled to be released February 25th, 2022.
Okay, so it's the other one. I couldn't remember if it was today. It's coming that same week that every other game, the Perry and Quarter One's coming.
Yeah. So GTA, it's out there. Fun stuff. I think I'm going to play 3, Jeff. So.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it.
Let's see what else we got on here. Earl, looks like you've been playing a co-op game by that studio that did the big co-op game this year, but
yes. You're
playing the older one.
Yes, and I'm preferring the older one.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, a ways out. And, I mean, I guess kind of on the same wave that as we were talking about with Saints Row, is that it's a game that understands it's stupid. But it has fun with it. I mean, A Ways Out is from Hazel 8 Studio, who are the folks behind It Takes Two, which I'm sure we'll hear about again during the end of the year awards or whatever. And it, much like It Takes Two, it's a co-op experience. You can't play single player. You have to play with somebody. You can play, I mean, I'm playing online, of course. And it's, I forget if, have any of you, Chris, none of you fit It's Take Two, right?
No, nope. I want to, I just haven't had anybody to play it with.
I wanted to play both these games, I'm just never...
We should play them, Jeff.
Yeah, you should play them together, my god.
You have to, like, only.
You're both like, I have nobody to play with. But there's two of us.
Nobody to play it with.
Well, it's also just like... I mean, that's definitely probably part of it, but it's just one of those games where you're just like, yeah, I should check that out, and I never ever get around to it.
Well, I mean, I think I had this discussion before. Like, this has been, I mean, a pandemic of co-op experiences for me. But yeah, so the reason I bring it up is because, like, it's a co-op experience, like I mentioned, but it also means that, like, you see your partner the entire time. You see what they're doing. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing the same thing, but like the screen is always spinning half, so you always see what's going on with the other person, and that created some really fun scenarios. But I mean, to go back, so the game itself is about two prisoners who are breaking out of prison and are on the run to get revenge on some guy who kind of ended up who ended up screwing them over, so they get in prison. So at first you're getting to know one of them's just coming into prison. So as you start the game, you see him enter in prison as you're kind of doing your daily routine and stuff like that. So it's kind of nifty to kind of see that point of view from the two people. And then, you get to be friends. And like the first thing you do is like a stealth mission, essentially, where like one person has to distract the nurse while you're trying to sneak around and get, you're basically trying to get a following thing. And it's really nifty to just kind of say, like giving the person the heads up, like, okay, now's a good time to distract the nurse, or now you have to go do something so the guard walks away from me so I can go sneak behind his back or whatever. And yeah, so you break out of prison. You break out of prison very early on in the game, and it's just really goofy how they do it, because the file that you got early in the game, you used to unscrew the toilet and break a concrete block behind it. And you go and you shut off the fan and stuff like that. And then you realize, like, crap, we can't go forward. So they make a plan to do something the next day. They do that part and then it gets over and then it gets screwed up again. So they have to go back another day. And I'm like, okay, so these people they have no working toilet. They shut off the AC. They created, and it's like nobody's noticed. And this is a really 41 prison. But like, yeah, there's a sense of humor to it. The characters are really fun and relatable. As far as gameplay goes, not super heavy on the gameplay. It's very much it's an adventure game, essentially. You go places and it will, like, you can attack. We've had shootouts. We've had to run from dogs, but it's nothing like super intense. It's not like hardcore gameplay, but I think really it's just driven by the characters and the story and just how goofy and fun it is. Like, after we break out of prison, we have an opportunity to go harass an LD couple. We're gentlemen, so we didn't harass them. We kind of lured them out of their house and snuck in. And then you just have, like, two grown men. Like, I was playing with a wind-up doll while my friend was playing with a banjo. And you're just watching this all unfold, and it's just, like, the stupidest thing ever. it's curious. It's on Game Pass. I really would recommend checking it out with somebody, because I went in because we wanted to play Army of Two, and not really had an EA shut off the service for that, so you can't play it online, which defeats the purpose of it. And this was just this on Game Pass, and yeah, I had no expectations. I thought this was gonna be, because it's, I mean part of it is I also dislike the guy who behind it, because he's like the he's the very obnoxious dude who shows up at the Game Awards. I think this is when he was advertising this game, that was the one where he's like, F Hollywood or whatever.
Yep. He's so, that guy.
Yes. So I was like, oh, coming from this guy, I'm not going to like it. But like, it, I mean, the game has its sweet side. It's very tender. Like, you know, we break out. We both have a family. My character has a wife and kid, and my friend has a wife who's pregnant with his first kid. And so, like, we break out of prison, and like, part of it is, like, you have to go to your, you know, you go check in on your wife and stuff, and, like, you know, I'm trying to talk to my son, I'm helping him with his treehouse, and then my friend is, like, the other guy, and he's helping my wife fix her bike, and then we go shoot hoops with the son, and it's, like, super adorable. They, like, they're gassing up his head, like, he's amazing at basketball, and I'm, like, it's really, these cute, like, home moments that really make the game shine for me. It does not seem like it's super long. I think we played like 3 hours over the weekend, and I think we're probably more than halfway through it. But yeah, I can't wait to go back to it. I'm having an absolute blast with it.
Nice. Jeff, we should try to play that.
Yeah.
We'll get to it in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, if nothing else, I would say it takes two at least, because that would be, I'm not necessarily saying that would be my game of the year. It's not. But I mean, it's a contender. I know a lot of people have talked about it as a game of the year contender. I don't know why, but yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we could try and play that as well. All right. Let's see. Before we get into older games, I played some Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
How was that? Yeah. Do you like Guardians of the Galaxy, the MCU movies?
Yes, I do.
It's kind of like that. Kind of like a linear Mass Effect as well.
Oh, okay.
Because you have the team, obviously, like, you know who these people are, though. So you're not collecting team members, but you have this set team. You're on a ship. You develop relationships with them, and you play as Star-Lord, and you can then like tell your teammates. So like, you could tell Groot. Like, Groot, like, use your special power, and he can, like, hold down an enemy, and then like, you can all gang up on him. Or, like, Gamora, like, use your katana slashy thing, and she'll do that. So, like, you can tell them to use their special powers on enemies. So it's kind of like, you know, when you would command your teammates in Mass Effect how to do that. Gunplay as Star-Lord is fine.
Okay.
It's not so great.
The character you get to play as sucks, kind
of. Yeah, he's not particularly like. I've only played a little bit of it, so like, you know, you start out with these like wind kind of blasters that he uses, and they're fine. Like, but maybe as you play more, you'll unlock better weapons, or they'll be better, and you'll do more with them. But so far, it's fun. Like, they're like, the levels are, they're long. This probably not going to be a short game. I think there's like 20 levels, and if they all go by how the first level goes, they're all going to be about an hour long. But they're well. It's a good mix of combat, some puzzles, it's like environmental puzzles, and just like some good dialogue throughout the whole thing. Game looks great. It's like visually really good looking. There's a good mix of like platforming, 3D platforming, and, you know, combat, like arena combat, that you go through, and you get to I can't remember the name of the ship, but like you get to fly the Milano and like shoot its guns. And so there's like some cool space stuff going on there too. It's fun. It's neat. I'm confused by people being like, this is like, and granted, it could get way better after the first mission, but people like talking about this being like one of the best games of the year, with the best like characters. And it's like, I mean, these characters are they're the MCU versions of these characters. They're good. But you know, it still comes back to like Rocket and Groot are, you know, they're the best. Drax is like right there behind them, and Star-Lord sucks.
but you get to play a Star-Lord.
You get to play a Star-Lord. Also the music, it's licensed music, but it's spot on. It's not the 70s music from James Gunn's movies. It's 80s. It's more like 80s soundtrack. But it's some good fun stuff going on. So
probably a dumb question that's not even that important. Did they justify that in the game any? Because at least in the movie, it was, you know, he had it because of his mother's.
So the game starts off. It's a dream sequence, but you're like a teenage Star Lord, Peter Quill. It's your birthday. You live in the basement of your mom's house, and it's the 80s. Like, and he's listening to some music. His mom likes the same type of music. So I'm sure like that's the justification there. The headset, the tape deck that he has, is the same one from that cutscene. So it's probably just like it was a memory of him. And I don't know if this is accurate to the comics, but the name Star-Lord comes from like this rock band that he liked. I don't know enough from the comics if that's how he got his name.
I think in the comics he was actually like a
Star-Lord.
Actual Star-Lord.
Yeah, because like he's related, like his dad is that thing, right? Yeah. So there's a justification for the music. Outside of it just being good.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if they just went like, okay, this is a thing that they do in the MCU, so we have to put it into the game.
I mean, that could be it. Like, that they could just be like, hey, we want to make this as close to the MCU version as possible, because that's what most people are familiar with in regards to Guardians. I mean, I've read a handful of Guardians comic books over time, but my guess is it's probably we're trying to make this as close to the MCU version, but it doesn't feel like the Avengers either, where it's like the Walmart version of them. Like this doesn't necessarily feel like Zoe Saldana and Dave Bautista and Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, and what's his name? Can't think of it. Why am I drawing a blank on the one everybody hates this week? Yeah, Chris Pratt.
But that's why you're drawing a blank, because he's just so kind of generic.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. Like, I have some issues with his personal beliefs, but like as an actor, he's fine. He's like that dude. Yeah, and like that, this Peter Quill seems to be that dude. But they don't necessarily look like their MCU counterparts, which does work, I think, in its benefit. It's not like, oh, this is the Walmart version of Chris Pratt playing Star-Lord. It's like it's Star-Lord, but there's a slightly different feel. But they are definitely going for that MCU vibe. It's cool. I assume that it'll probably be on sale for cheaper than I got it in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was already down to what, $50 this week?
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess by the time this is over, but Target and Amazon are also doing a buy two, get one free sale on games, books, and movies right now. So if anybody's in the market for anything.
Even that seems too much. Honestly,
yeah, like it used to be, and I mean, I picked up some stuff, but I picked up books for like my nieces. I picked up some books for some friends and kids for the holidays. But yeah, I used to do it, and then like you do the math sometimes, and it's like, because if you buy two get one free, it's $120 for the three, which comes out to about $40 a piece. You could still get them for cheaper usually around Black Friday. We get them for like $30, $35 bucks. And it's the same thing with some movies, because I was going to do movies, but I'm like, I'm almost certain that a lot of these will be like $15 in a few weeks, which would still come out cheaper than spending $30. Partially because I'm looking for 4Ks on movies, so.
Yep. Yeah, so I assume that'll be on sale shortly. Yes, I got three other games real quick. Final Fantasy V, the Pixel Remaster, came out yesterday. That's one that I've tried to play Final Fantasy V numerous times.
And failed.
Yeah, but mostly, like, it's really, like, the only physical, like, version that I had to play on a console before was the PlayStation version. And it's not a good version of that game. All the other versions are handheld, and I don't know, I just could never get into the handheld versions of them. So I bought this, it's on Steam, and I've made it into the game. We'll see if I make it. We'll see if it's the handheld that was holding it up, or if the if it's just the game. Like, I just can't get into the game itself. But it seems like a really good remaster of, you know, a Super Nintendo era game. The soundtrack is fantastic. Like, it's orchestral instead of the chip tunes from the Super Nintendo. So, which five technically never came out here, so it would have been a Famicom game. But yeah, it's really good, and I think it was cheap. Like, it was like $11 or something like that. So decently priced. I am still surprised that Square didn't release these on Switch or
any other console. The other
consoles, like, it's crazy that it's just on like mobile and PC.
I would say give it time.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we'll be seeing, like, you know, a Nintendo collection, like the first three games, and then a Super Nintendo collection of the second three. At some point, probably next year. It's just so weird that it's not out. But Jeff, this will interest you. I gave Demon's Souls a try.
And then how are you playing all of these other games? This is like, you've got to dedicate your life to this.
Yeah. Well, so like Demon's Souls, I played for an hour and a half and haven't gone back yet. So.
Oh my god.
And I did not get to the first boss either.
Did you unlock the little shortcut to get to him?
No, I unlocked a shortcut, and then I'll tell you what happened. So like, I went through, I'm like, oh, like very slowly going through, and it's like I'm using all my healing grass because Demon's Souls has grass instead of like the Estus flask.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using all my like grass to heal because I'm injured. I decided to go with a mage build because you guys said that would be like. You said it's the most boring build, but I'm trying to at least advance in the game. So I went with that. So it's a mage with a short sword, and like you don't re-earn your magic over time. Like, so you have to like refill it with an item. So I like used all of that, and I was like just wandering around. I don't know where the hell I was going. Evidently, there's this bridge that I have to cross, and I have to do it quickly because a dragon comes and burns the bridge. So I have to run all the way across, but it's like the dragon comes and burns all these other enemies that are on the bridge. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Why would I go that way? That does not seem logical that would be the way to go. And that's the way to go. Like, so I watched a YouTube video afterwards. So when I go back to it, I will try that portion of it and try and run across the bridge, and that will unlock the second shortcut I need, which allows me to then open the gate to the boss. But
yeah, it's
nuts. It's like I'm 90 minutes in and I haven't hit the first boss. Well no, it's let me check that. There's a boss in the tutorial section that I guess is supposed to kill you. Does like immediately. I guess you can beat that boss But if it like hits you once or twice, you're dead. So
yeah,
I did not kill that boss.
it's been forever since I've played that game. I played it when it came out, so 2009, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do remember that the first level, it's kind of like a castle area type thing. Yep.
Yeah, it's like you're on like the gates of this castle.
I just remember like getting to, I don't know how I remember this, but I want to say this is right. Like right before the boss, there'll be like this gate or a bridge or something that you can fucking open, and it's just like you have the shortcut then to go straight to the boss from there. So hopefully that'll help you out. But since it's been so long for me, I can't even tell you where this one ranks for me or what. It's, I think of it as almost separate from the whole series, just because
what's different too, because it's not open world, right? It's levels, level based, and
which is kind of neat. I think, I don't know, like.
Well, I think I might
this level, you know.
Yeah, I think I might like that more than because like then it's not like, I mean, I'm getting lost in this fucking level, so who the fuck knows? But like, I know that like I played Dark Souls, and like you were like. Like I explained where I was in Dark Souls when I quit, you're like, yeah, that you're like at a, I was at like some sub boss. You don't even need to fight. Like yeah, I just missed where I needed to go, and like I had been wandering around for hours. Like it's like I don't know, but this is more straightforward. Where it's like, you play this level, get to the boss. When you beat the boss, you move on. You go back to the hub and can take on another area.
Yeah.
We'll see. The game's very pretty.
Yeah, that's I guess what's going to be my big question is
super pretty. Like it's a beautiful looking game. I just like I'm having some trouble with some of the just the logic in it. Like I don't understand how the economy works.
Like, yeah,
I have all these items. Like, can I like what do I do with them? Like, can I sell them? Like, I'm picking up like swords and like leather armor that aren't. They're worse than what I already have. So it's like, can I sell this? But everything is soul based. Like, so if I want to buy more grass or more magic, you know, stuff to like, give me my magic back. Like that all costs souls, but also I can't figure out how to level up. I did figure that out. Evidently I need to finish the first level before I can.
That helps.
Yeah. Like, so I'm like, all right, because like, I have all these souls. Like, what do I do with them? Like, can I just level up and then I'll be ready to fight the boss? Because like, I think you can do that in Dark Souls. Like, you get to a bonfire, you can spend your souls and level up your character. And this, I'm like, what do I do? Like, how do I? I'm exploring like the hub area, talking to all the NPCs there. Nobody is like giving me any insight.
Because you're not supposed to yet, right?
Yeah, because like, I'm not. It hasn't unlocked in the game. Like when I do beat that first boss, when I go back, then the person that brings you back to life from the tutorial, she'll be there and she'll evidently go through how to upgrade your character. It's like I just want to be stronger now. Also, when I fall off a cliff and like have to go retrieve my 4,000 souls, that's fucking annoying because all the enemies are back and
well maybe you know once you're able to you know sometimes some of those games will start off so rough because you can't do that right away but then once you can level up you could you know start to grind it out.
Or I definitely remember play a game that's actually game. Good from the beginning you could do that.
It's good from the beginning, it's just it's a little more difficult because you can't go okay I need to build up my strength or whatever you know.
Right, like you can't necessarily build how you want to play.
You just gotta get good at the first level.
Yeah, like, and you have to beat it with the basic mechanics as opposed to specking your character. Like, I want to throw everything into magic, so my shit burns everybody immediately. And
I think you know that's not the only one where at the beginning you can't. I think most of them at the very beginning you have to just make it through the beginning part or whatever. But usually it's not like, you know, the whole first, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, because I've already gone through like an area, right? Like I went through the tutorial area, which I think is in Dark Souls, like once you make it past that tutorial area, like in, they drop you off in the main world. Like once you hit the bonfire, you can upgrade. Like in this, it's like, nope. And it's like so foreign because those game Dark Souls is more modern now because it came after it, that it's like, that's just how I expected this to work. But the bonfires were something that Dark Souls brought to the table.
The last one I played, it's like Freshman Head was 2, and it's like, I know you could do certain things at the bonfire, but then like you had to go back to the town. There was like this lady that would just be sitting around the town. You had to go to her to do your like stats, like to up your stats.
Got it.
But yeah, I'll say this: any of these games, like any game by them, I recommend using guides and stuff, like looking stuff up, looking info up that you're curious about, because.
I'm glad I did.
It's not going to tell you.
Yeah, no, the game doesn't tell you at all. And I'm glad I did, because now I know that, like, I've been picking up, they call it pine resin. And evidently, I can rub this pine resin, like, I can utilize, like, just, it's a regular item, and I just use it, and the character will rub it on their sword or whatever weapon they're using and light it on fire. And the first boss is susceptible to fire. Because it's covered in covered in oil, so it's like. I remember playing this when it came out on PS3 originally, and not knowing that, and like I just had such a hard time with it, and I was like, "Fuck this game!" Like, but now knowing that, like watching that video, like where do I need to go? I'm just gonna like watch this dude finish off this level because it's only took him 20 minutes, not 2 hours. And like he's like, and he's actually explaining like what you should do too. He's like, all right, like so this enemy here is susceptible to fire, so like get your pine resin out, make sure you utilize that before you go fight it. And if it goes out for whatever reason, utilize it again to burn them. And also he's like, you know, fight all the little ones around them before you start going in on him directly, because you want to open up like little gaps in the area to do damage against him. I'm like, yeah, this is like useful information, because otherwise I would just be like pounding my head against the wall with it. But.
I never remembered to do that pine resin shit. If I struggle with a boss, what I will do is just summon somebody. Then it becomes any boss that like is hard becomes infinitely easier once you have someone else there. Even like, and I don't know if you can summon in Demon Souls, I have no idea. But in all the other games, even if you're not summoning another person, you could summon NPCs, and you know, they're not like the best fighters or anything, but just having an NPC there that you summoned is fucking, it makes it a million times easier, because they're, you know, the decoy, like they're drawing attention away from you. So you
they'll draw at least half of the aggro from the enemies. And I don't know about summoning. I do know that you can be invaded, but you can't shut that off from the menu. It's like, I don't need that fucking aggravation.
Yeah, I don't like getting invaded. It sucks.
You do like, I rescued like this NPC. And I believe later on, like, you can ask them to join you.
Yeah, that's as how.
A companion.
That's how you could, like, definitely, like, talk to any NPCs you see, because just, like, talking to them might trigger the thing down the road where it's like, oh, now their, like, thing will be outside of the boss, and you could, like, summon them. And again, even if that's all there is in Demon's Souls, is NPCs that you could summon, makes all the difference in the world. It could take a boss from like being super hard to like you go in and kill him the first try, because they, you know, they draw him away, allows you to like circle around behind the boss and just beat the shit out of him. Like, it just becomes so much easier.
So yeah, I'm gonna keep playing that a little bit at least, and I streamed my first, you know, my first play session of it, so I'll probably stream it again. you can watch me play Demon Souls badly.
Sweet.
And then one other game I played. Have you guys ever played Call of Duty 3?
Yeah, back in the year of our Lord
2006.
Yeah.
I weirdly never played that one. So I went and filled that gap in. That is a game from 2006.
Yeah, it's because I played that one a ton online because like at the time there was like good decent Xbox community around it before Modern Warfare became Modern Warfare. But yeah, it's so weird going back to that. It's not even like the setting alone. It's just very small in scale.
If I remember correctly. Like it's small in scale, but you play as like five different. You play as a member of like five different armies, but it's all like one interconnected story. At least for the campaign, it's really weird because it's like before Modern Warfare really modernized how controls work in shooters, which is kind of the standard at this point. There's like weird button presses that you have to do to like, you know, throw a grenade or pick up a grenade that's on the ground, how to change your weapon, stuff that just feels a little, it feels weird going back to it 15 years later. And I just don't think it's quite as good as like Call of Duty 2 was. And it's weird because like Treyarch is now they are the Call of Duty studio, where Infinity Ward was at the time. It's a strange game.
Was 3 the launch one for 360, or was that 2?
That was 2.
Okay.
Two was the launch for 360. 3 came the year after.
And then Modern Warfare
was the next year, along with Halo 3, I believe, it was 2007.
That's like a huge jump going from 3 to Modern Warfare.
Oh yeah,
old ones though. Those like I don't know. How are you playing this?
I had a disc, but it's backwards compatible.
So but you can play.
You're literally playing this on your Xbox.
I played it on my Series X. Yeah, I put the disc in. Awesome. It downloads the backwards compatible version for it because like it needs to be backwards compatible. So it downloads that wrapper, and you play the 360 version on your Series X.
So wait, does it pay off the disc, or is it the? So do you
need? You need the disc in it. It does not play off the disc though. It downloads the digital version of the game, but the disc is like your check.
I'm assuming then you could buy the digital version off the store. If you wanted to.
For 3, I believe, is available to buy digitally, But there are games that you can't buy digitally, but are backwards compatible.
That's cool. Yeah.
It does the same thing. I think one of those, I'm actually going to play this soon, but I think like Batman, the Montreal Studios one, Arkham Origins. I don't think that's available digitally, but it is backwards compatible, so it'll download a digital version of it. That was an interesting experience going back. But I've now played all the Call of Duties except for the latest one, Vanguard or whatever the one that just came out is.
Vanguard.
I have a friend asking me to get that. I'm like, I don't know.
You're gonna get it,
probably. But it's like I don't need another shooter because like Halo is like in less than a month now.
You are like juggling some huge games right now too. Like you got.
He's not gonna play any more Demon's Souls, Jeff. Give it up.
Here's my thing. Like I can't. I find juggling just Forza and GTA would be like a lot for me.
So Forza,
and I got Diablo going as well. It's like
I think like I'm not juggling Forza, right? Like Forza is going to be like NHL or Madden for me. It's just like I'm in the mood to play this. I'm gonna pop it on and you know do a couple races, find a couple bonus boards. It's not going to be a game that like I sit down and just consistently play.
Big game though, a lot of game.
Demon Souls, like if I get into that, like something will have to move off because that's that's one that takes a big commitment, and I will be poking at GTA.
I think that you said if you get into it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. Like I'm gonna try and get through this first boss and see, which will be the furthest I've ever made it into that game. So I want to try it so that when that new thing comes out, I can play with Walt and Jeff, and they can just protect me all the time.
We'll just. Dude, that new thing looks so good.
Oh, Elden Ring. I'm like, what new thing are you folks talking about?
Yeah, Elden Ring, yes. Sorry. I couldn't think of the name either for a second. Jeff, you played Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Yeah, they got me back in. No. I mean, I don't know how much more I have to add to what I was saying last week, but I think that the things that they added in this new update, it's a lot. It's more than is even apparent right off the bat. And I started to go after the thing I think Earl mentioned last week, the Brewster's Cafe. It's, you know, you can open a little coffee shop in your museum.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, to do that, you have to like donate one of every item, and I've never donated art.
Oh, and he... Because you have to get it from
this guy Red, I think his name is.
And then when he shows up, there's a chance he's also selling illegitimate art.
Yeah, and he does not show up often either.
Wow.
But see, this is all tying in together. One of the things they added is you could go to Harvey's Island, which used to be this place you could go just to like take professional pictures or something. I don't know. I never played
it. It was like the little log cabin.
They fucking have opened that up so that there's a bunch of, like, there's a huge field now you could go out in, and there's all these gyroids all over the place. And if you donate $100,000, you could, like, basically all the traveling shops in the game, you could set up permanently on Harvey's Island, which is pretty fucking cool, I think. So I set up Red's, you know, shop so I could get a fucking piece of art, so I could donate the art, so I could open, so then I could go to this other island and get Brewster to come over.
So complicated.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, just because I want this stupid coffee shop, you can't even really do anything with.
Yeah, I'm like, I think it's we like had fully that discussion sucked back in.
Yeah.
Finally forgot what that actually does.
It's nothing. It's just you want to have all the cool things, you know? I do think that, you know, as an update thing, having that like area where you can set up the traveling shops permanently is pretty fucking cool. It's $100,000 to open each one though, so you better have some bank. So yeah, it's kind of slowly but surely kind of pulled me back in. I do kind of feel like, you know, what I said last week though still kind of stands in a way though. It's like, these are all awesome things. They should have been there closer to the launch, though. It's just like, I've played the hell out of this game already, and adding like features that make the game a little cooler is would have meant more when I was still invested in the game, you know?
Right.
But there's enough there, just enough there that's slowly pulled me back, and I have not even touched the paid DLC yet.
What is the paid DLC?
I don't know. It's something called Happy House Designer. I think
it's very much like the mobile game, Happy Camp Designer.
Yeah.
So it's more like you take, I mean, I don't know the extent of it, but I know the big gist of it is like you'll take requests to build houses and like places for people, like animals and stuff like that.
It's basically like giving you missions of things like houses to build, kind of, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know that how much I will love that. I mean, at least that is actually adding more like content, like things to do, you know what I mean? But one of my least favorite parts of Animal Crossing is like thinking about design or anything like that. Like, I don't, you saw my house or my island, you'd be like, yeah, he's not paying attention to that. Like, just a bunch of junk thrown all over the place. But here's a cool thing I found. Doesn't really fit in this room, but okay. You know? So I don't know how much I'd love designing houses for other animals.
All right.
Tony, you play anything else? You play any more Age of Empires?
No, not really. It's been a rough week for the Tony, so we're kind of had a whole lot of games this week.
How is your kids enjoying the Jurassic Park?
Oh my God,
Maker.
So, my son has been sick all week because he has a cold. He doesn't have COVID, but since he has a cold, he can't go to school. But Jurassic World Evolution 2 came out on Tuesday, so I bought it for him, and it's basically all he's done for the last 3 days. There's been lots of talk of dinosaurs, and you know, he made a park that had no fences so the dinosaurs could roam around and eat all the tourists that were arriving, which, you know, I can appreciate. But the game is beautiful, looks great. He's putting like trams and that sort of thing into his park, and you can actually go out and like ride the tram and see everything you can see from the tram.
That's neat.
Which, you know, when it's like you're like traveling over these pens full of dinosaurs is really cool. You can add the gyrospheres, the things from the
Are those the Jurassic World, like this?
The round things that the people can ride around in. You can totally add those to your park so tourists can like ride around in them. I don't know that you can ride around in them yourself. You can go out as, you know, they have the little crews that can go out and like tranquilize dinosaurs and like take them back to.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually do that. You can take the Jeep out and like get a firing line and take a shot at a dinosaur.
So you can be Chris Pratt.
Yes, basically.
And you control a herd of velociraptors and ride them in the battle.
I haven't seen that part yet, so but it wouldn't surprise me. The dinosaurs have like really complex interactions. Like the herds have like alphas now.
Mm-hmm.
So like they'll be and other ones will come in to fight the alpha for dominance. So like you'll have like a group of I don't know what they're all called. Say Compsognathus. So you have a group of them and one of them will be the alpha and other ones will come up and like fight it for its position. But the rest of them will like follow it around. So like if you're like having this creature moved or whatever, the whole herd will follow it wherever it goes. It's kind of interesting. It seems a lot like the first game with some mild improvements.
Okay.
So, like if you really enjoyed the first one, this is probably a get. The thing that annoys me about it, and annoys my son also, it takes so long to get the good dinosaurs. And the only way to unlock stuff in the game is to either complete campaign missions, or they have these like challenges you can finish to get unlocks. So you can't like hop into the sandbox mode and get really cool stuff unless you've unlocked it already.
Okay, so you can't just like get like a T-Rex or like the gigantic. What was the ridiculous, the Indominus Rex?
Indominus Rex or the Spinosaurus or any, like you can't just go out and get those. So like I'm like talking to my son who's been playing the game for like, you know, 12 hours. I'm like, show me your biggest carnivore, and he shows me an Allosaurus. I'm like, what the hell is this? What's going on? Like the best I can do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, you know, it is kind of a strategy game and that, like a park building game. So that's
you have to unlock the stuff slowly and surely.
So I that was something that kind of annoyed me in like Zoo Tycoon. Right? Yeah. It's like to get like the really cool stuff, like you just have to play a lot of it. But yeah, I'm glad that he's enjoying it. That game's always been like the first one. I was always like, I should try this, like, but. Never got around to it.
Yeah, I think this is better than the first game. So you can probably there's no reason to play the first game if you have this one.
Got it. So. Earl, you play anything else?
I mean, just updates on stuff I've mentioned before. Nothing new or shiny this week, sadly enough. I guess more from the Genesis. I've never beaten this game before, but I defeated Gunstar Heroes on the Genesis. It's an interesting game, I guess. I don't know if it's the emulation. I'm assuming it's the emulation on the Nintendo Switch Online, where there's a lot of showdown in co-op mode because it's not accustomed to two people shooting stuff, I assume. And it's not even the showdown that gets me; it's the screen tearing.
That's not good.
But no, I mean, we beat it. It's a very kind of old school. Like, you know, I think the thing we found frustrating was that it's like you don't even memorize the characters' movements because like you'll have like they will have different patterns every time you fight them. There'd be times like we'd replay stuff and they'd have a whole new set of moves. I'm like, I don't know where this came from. But the game, I mean, I could see why it's held up as a classic. I could see why people revere it. But it was a fun kind of like first Genesis game because, I mean, I like some other ones. It's not one that I've, let's say, beaten constantly, like Sonic or Streets of Rage or Ultra Beast or something like that. So that was fine. And again, I think, I mean, it makes sense. The Genesis NES and that SO app works very similar to the NES and Super Nintendo one. They're very rock solid. Online is super easy to set up and stuff like that. So
nice. That's all. You play any more N64 games or?
No, I haven't. I should, but I mean, I guess the thing is for me is like I'm not in N64 games as much as other people. Like I just did Mario 64. I don't
care
for Ocarina. I might go for Yoshi's Story at some point, but I mean, like right now, I'm playing. What am I playing? Age of Calamity, and I'm trying to actually work my way through New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe again. Well, not again. I've never played it, but like I owned it, I might as well make use of it. I will say, just kind of, I don't think. I mean, maybe it's just, I don't think that game gets enough it deserves. It's probably one of the best 2D Mario games out there.
We recognized it. Me and Chris did.
Yeah, that's so good.
But yeah, I think because it came out, you know, at the peak of the New Super Mario is kind of old and trite discussion that a lot of people, but yeah, it's I think it's a really fantastic 2D Mario game that and I also like Wii, but I think that unlike the original, which I think was more of a nostalgia thing, it was like, oh, first 2D Mario game in like what, 12 or 13 years at that point. This is actually just a really good 2D game. So yes, I just wish they added on like they did with 3D World. So yeah, that's kind of.
We can't have everything.
We can't have everything. Oh, wait. Sorry. I also started, I think you and Jeff talked about this. I started Dark Alliance. That is the name of the game, right?
Yes, the Baldur's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
The new one.
Yes, and yep. I will say so far I'm having fun with it. I think my big beef with it so far, and this seems to be a newer thing with the game, is whenever you beat a mission in co-op, it kicks you back to the menu.
They haven't fixed that yet.
Oh, was that so? That's been a problem before.
Yeah, I mean it was definitely a problem that Jeff and I ran into when we played. Yeah, it is weird.
It's so weird.
What issue? Have?
Where we would finish the mission in co-op and it would drop us back like all the way out to the main menu, like we would disconnect and have to rejoin.
Oh yeah, that game was fun though, man. I don't know. I think it got kind of unfairly shit on
I mean, it was a $40 release, so like, I mean, a budget release by today's standards. I mean, it plays like today's one.
Let's say today's standards. It came out, but yes, it was. Yeah, because I remember like it did not get great reviews and stuff like that, and people were like, "Oh, I'm having fun with it." It seems like, you know, each character, like, it's weird to have defined characters, but it's also like each character has a very defined role. Yep. Like, you know, this person's a tank, this person's a damage, this person's support and long distance. And I'm like, each one of those works really well. I think the enemy design's really cool. Yeah, I mean, we played it because we couldn't figure out what to do. And I'm like, oh, I'm having fun with this. I'm going to continue doing this. So yeah, that is that. And it's not, I mean, aside from that weird bug, it's just janky than the Ascend and Outriders was. So it's got that going.
It is, like, you have to kind of play up. You have to play, like, higher difficulties for the better loot to drop. But
yeah.
But it is doable on, like, low difficulty. Like, not low, but, like, normal difficulty or whatever. It's, like, totally doable to finish.
You final want that good shit?
Yeah. If you want the good equipment, though, you have to, like, play up and...
Oh, yeah, that was my one bone, which I kind of get, but it's like, you don't get anything until you finish the mission. You don't get XP, you don't get...
Yeah, that's kind of... I remember that. That was kind of shitty.
And apparently, even if you fail the mission, you get none of it either. So it's not even like, okay, you failed the mission, you connected some stuff, here's what you got. It's like, you get nothing.
Yeah. So there's, like, that risk-reward, but there are, like, some missions that you can just totally... like cheese, like, because like there's like ones where it's like just what, a couple minutes to get to the boss, and then you fight the boss and like you can get your equipment that way. Yeah, it's fun. Jeff, did your buddy ever finish it?
Dark Alliance?
Yeah,
we had to have. I thought we all did. I don't remember.
Yes, I know we were close to the end, and then like I missed like playing with you guys one night and just finished that final mission on my own. That final mission's a pain in the ass, but it's a good game.
Yeah. Earl, on the Genesis app, check out Musha.
I have checked that out. It's funny, somebody recommended that to me. Well, somebody's, you know, like everybody's like, oh, what's the first game you're gonna play? What's the first game? And somebody said Musha. I'm like, you know what, I've literally never heard of it. I'm gonna go for it. I had fun with it. I mean, I only played like the first level, I will go back to it, but I was like, I'm gonna make sure this is the first game I play, because somebody's like recommended it. I'm like, before N64, because I think every game except for Wimbeck on N64, I've played on the N64, so I'm like, I wanted something different. So yeah.
Yeah, that was the only one I got on the Genesis app that was like new to me. I'd never heard of it either. Really was really loving it. And I finally was like, what's the deal with this game? I like looked it up, so I'm like, I've never heard of it. It's not surprising that I like it, because it's made by Compile, who made my favorite shooter, Blazing Lasers. It's like the same developer, very similar type game. I'm like, I've never heard of this one. It's a really good looking Genesis game too, I think. But yeah, it's just hilarious. I'm like, you know, these people made one of my favorite shmups of all time. Here's another game by them I had never even heard of. And, you know, helps the game like that. Save states useful.
Yeah. I always forget about. I always forget about it, because I honestly abuse the save states with Gunstar Heroes with the final boss rush.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I forget they exist, and that is such a chef kiss thing to do, is just being able to... And I forget, I don't use this either, because I don't think the N64 has it, but the NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis also has the rewind feature.
Where you can go back. I always forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's useful in Musha. I was using it a little bit in Musha, for sure. And you know, it's so funny. I'm reading the Wikipedia on this game, and when it came out, it got like pretty mixed reviews, and you know, a lot of reviewers like being like, "Ah, there's a million games like this. This game has no challenge." And I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about? This game is impossible, dude!" Like, And then, like, when it got re-released, you know, later on, like, virtual consoles and shit, like, critics would say, like, one of the things they liked about the game is how challenging it is. So I don't know if, like, we collectively just all got worse at games over time, but I can't, like, playing Musha, I cannot believe, like, the reviews said when it came out it was too easy. Like, what the fuck? No way, dude. All those shmups are fucking insane. Like, I don't think I've played a shmup that isn't hard, you know?
Yeah. Not my favorite genre.
Ah, they're fun. And, you know, again, save states make them all doable, so.
I think that's it for what we've been playing. There were a couple of delays that Earl told me about before we started. The Steam Deck was delayed, as was the Playdate, which is the handheld. Both are handheld game consoles.
When they was the Steam Deck supposed to launch?
It was supposed to launch, I think originally it was supposed to drop, and people were supposed to, I mean, it's had its staggered launch to begin with, but now people were supposed to start getting them December next month. And now it's delayed into Q1 2020?
Yeah, February.
Oh, okay. And then everybody else got pushed back on the same scale. So if you were going to get in the second wave, you're now at Q2 of 2022 and stuff like that. And I mean, all of this, and I don't think we mentioned this last week, but it's all of this is all on the same page because Nintendo and Sony, I forget if Microsoft did, also both cut their expectations for what they expected to sell this fiscal year with consoles. I mean, really, and this isn't just video games, you'll see this across the industry, is that everybody's just being hit with the supply chain problems that we've been having. That's why, you know, prices of food and stuff is going up. We had the canal that was stuck in the ship that was stuck in the canal for 2 weeks earlier this year. The fact that people hadn't been working for the better part of the past 2 years. A lot of that stuff is kind of coming home to roost. And I think we've mentioned stuff like that at the start of the pandemic. It's like, this is only phase one. We're going to see the fallout of it come for quite a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit. All right.
Oh, and one other thing. It's not even big news, but Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and HD will all remove from what, digital stores?
Yes.
Because they had to they need to re-license or renegotiate the war footage used in it?
Yes.
Which is a new one for video games.
Wait, they have to renegotiate what?
So there's like a live action documentary footage of like a war. Like, I don't know which war it is, but it's like it's like, you know, somebody shot that. It was licensed. They had licensed it for the original games and then for the re-release, but that expired this past week. So Konami had to pull it down.
That's hilarious.
But they have said they're trying to get them back as fast as possible. So I don't think they'll be gone forever. It is funny though, because I do believe it is Metal Gear's anniversary. So.
Yeah, everybody celebrates the anniversary different.
Yep. They just Konami takes their games down. All right. I would like to announce that the Dolphins did hold on and beat the Ravens. So.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them. Congratulations on ruining your draft chances for next year.
I mean, they're not our draft chances. They're the Eagles' draft chances.
Oh, that's true.
We traded that pick to the Eagles, so fuck them. our draft chances for our first round pick are tied to however the 49ers do.
I just want to know who your starting quarterback actually is.
It's you know, whoever wants to play that day.
I mean, Tua came in.
He played well. Drove them for their lone offensive touchdown. Good for that. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on with that team. It's such a mess.
I mean, you're what now? You're 3-6? That's not horrible.
3-7? I mean, it could be worse.
Could.
Of course, we did lose to the Jaguars. Just got to beat the Jets. So it's got to be better than the Jets.
That doesn't seem hard. That seems achievable.
We're not going to pass you guys, the Patriots. We're not going to pass the Bills this year, but it should be better than the Jets.
The Patriots look like a playoff team. Say that out loud.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Yes.
All right. I don't know if there are any more games this week. I mean, obviously, we're going to play a lot of what has come out, but I don't know if there's anything new coming out, which is nice.
Doesn't Battlefield come out on Friday?
I thought it was the 19th. So, yes, next Friday. Yeah, next Friday.
I guess that's not early enough for the podcast.
Yeah.
I need a minute here to catch up.
That would also be Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes.
Yeah.
Out next week. I don't think any of us are playing this, but Shin Megami Tensei 5 is out tomorrow. Don't all talk at once.
No, I actually, because we talked about the reviews for that last week, I thought that game was already out.
Yeah, I prefer when reviews are early, but it's a weird disconnect between, this is an aside, but I feel the same way about Ghostbusters, because reviews started to drop for that last month, and it's not out for another week and a half.
Oh. Yeah, it's next week, right? Like, it's the same day as Battlefield. I think it's the 19th that comes out.
Yes. Yes. And I also, I don't know if anybody excited for, I don't know if anybody's excited for it, but yeah, they are not hiding anything in the new Ghostbusters trailers or commercials.
I have not seen the new ones. I've just... I know that Dan Aykroyd is he in it? No, or is it
Dan Aykroyd's been the one they've teased. He's the one who's been in the auto trailers when
he answers the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I will. That's what I'm going to say. But yes, they have. I was watching something this week and nearly the commercials on. I'm like, oh, you folks are not. I'm assuming pre-sales are not that hot, that they're just like, yeah, we need to drum up some interest in this. Quickie.
Shang-Chi, I guess, hits Disney Plus this weekend, so I might watch that.
Why are you going to watch that?
That excited. And I'm also curious, because not that I want, but I've been reading some stuff about it, and it sounds like a disaster. Is Home Sweet Home Alone?
Yeah, that looks like a mess.
Yeah, it looks bad, but
is
I read
the new Macaulay Culkin movie? What's happening?
There's no Macaulay Culkin in it, but it is a sequel to...
Yeah, to Home Alone. Is it a sequel, or is it just like another reboot?
I mean, it's a sequel in the sense that they showed in the trailer is that the original exists because his older brother's in it.
Okay.
Buzz is a cop, which totally checks off of Buzz.
Yeah.
And as you see his name tag is like McAllister, so it could be a fun wink, but it seems like it exists in that universe.
God, the Home Alone cinematic universe.
So like, what is what is going on here where this town just like allows kids to like their parents suck. Consistently leaving their kids behind.
Yeah. But yeah, this one sounds okay. Apologies for anybody who's looking forward to it. I was just reading up on it today because
both of you.
And it seems like they've switched it so the kid's kind of a brat and the thieves are sympathetic because thieves are, they're not really thieves. Apparently, the kids steal something from their house. The dad lost his job and the wife is like her salary's being cut. So they're in the process of losing their house. They find out that something that they own is worth a ton, and the kid had stolen it. And the kid's like a rich kid who just apparently goes around stealing stuff. I'm like, wait, this is the setup for the movie? And this sounds awful. I don't know how you remedy this by the end of it, where it's like. Their quote-unquote, the whole point of Home Alone, at least the original, was that he's defending his house from burglars trying to break in.
Yep.
Like, if you're defending your home from people who are down on their luck, who's trying to get back something you stole from them,
that's
you're the bad
horrible.
Guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're 10 or whatever.
10-year-old little Nazi.
All right, well, you know, as Jeff said, a little break for us to catch up on everything that's come out.
Like, I could easily go the rest of the year with just, like, Forza, GTA, and Diablo. Like, I've... That's pretty much what it's going to be for me, and then Halo. I'll be ready for Halo when it comes.
I mean, I want Battlefield, but I don't need a ton more games. I got.
Yeah, I'm pretty like, that's, yeah, it's like, I don't need a new game every week. I'm enjoying all these.
That was what went when Earl, you mentioned the early reviews for Ghostbusters and Shin Megami Tensei. Battlefield reviews, I guess, started hitting, but they're weird. Do you guys catch any of them?
Oh,
no.
It seems like the reviewers got like very limited time with the game, and some of them are releasing like scored reviews based on like the three matches or four matches they were allowed to play.
Weird.
Where others are just like writing impressions pieces, which seems to be the right move to me. Like, it should just be an impression piece.
Something like that where you have to really play like 10 hours to really know how the multiplayer feels.
Yeah. So I wouldn't put too much stock into the reviews that are out there on Battlefield yet, but
I mean, and I don't want to harp on this too much, and I do is like you know, people day with a bunch of people. That's different than if you had to experience that in the real world, and it's the same thing with kind of online. I know some people do like reviews in progress, which also dislike. But it's like, yeah, like okay, so you get this game and it's online's good, but is it good? Because it's ideal, there's like 50 people online and you all friends, or is it going to be good when there's like a million people playing the game at once? Or like if it comes out and nobody's on the servers, like I look at Nick All-Star, and that had issues with Xbox where people couldn't find games because apparently the one IT dude was on vacation at the start of November. Oh, sorry, the end of October, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as Tony said, like something like Battlefield, like you need the time to play it, and it's not just the modes, like like as you said, Earl, like playing with your 50 friends that you know. Like, it's how does that game work with randoms?
Right. How stable are the servers? How's the progression system? You can't get that stuff after three matches.
No, not at all.
I mean, you can't get that by launch day.
Yeah, you can.
Regardless, no matter how much you've played,
But it's like it's the it's the curse of game reviews. It's like nobody cares about your reviews like after it comes out, but it's also like being first does not help anybody if you're not reviewing it under the situations that everybody else is going to play it on. I'm sure we've seen plenty of reviews that come out and it's like, oh, this is great, it works well, and then it's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's interesting. I did not see any like GTA reviews today.
Oh, there were none. They did not send out early review copies, which also had the conspiracy theorists out.
Yeah.
Like they're hiding it, and then the pictures came out.
Let's say IGN puts up a review tomorrow. I'm like, how much of the game did you actually check out here? You know what I mean? Like, you just got your review code yesterday, or got a copy yesterday. Like,
I do want I think they should put a good chunk in, but I'm also not 100% that, like, for a game like that, which a ton of it already, they don't, you don't need to play all of it, but you should see a bunch of it to, like, at least for GTA 3, you should unlock all three zones to see how, you know, visually they look. And
I'm not saying you have to 100% each game, but
I'm also curious if, especially with something like that, where it's like, because there's not a ton of value. Like, is it broken? Yes or no? The extent of it. It's like, because like the people who are gonna buy GTA trilogy, it's like you kind of have some expertise. You know what to expect from these games. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's like, I assume like it will do well, but it's also like, how well is it going to be reviewing GTA versus like, Shin Megami or Battlefield or even Pokemon? Where it's like, okay, those are like Pokemon we didn't talk about. It's having a day one patch, which isn't news, but it became news because Pokemon has a history of leaking stuff. People are like, oh, it has no ending and stuff. So it's like, it's this day one patch. You get accustomed to that by this point. I'm not saying that I'm a fan of it, but you get accustomed to it. So I don't know why it became this big thing now. It's like, yeah, but the game you see on when you get it, it's going to be the game that you're going to get. So the issue would be more for reviewers who are like missing a chunk of that that may not be there by the time they finish their reviews next week.
Well, we'll have more impressions of GTA next week.
Yes, San Andreas was freebie.
Yep, Jeff and I will have more on 3 because I think that's where I'm going to move to. I'm going to move to 3.
Yeah.
Just play a little bit of that. So we'll have some stuff next week, and then the week after we'll do our game show. And whoever wins that gets to drop a game into the Hall of Fame. So,
We hadn't announced that, have we?
No.
We did that off air last week. Oh, yes. So.
So if you want to explain it now.
Yep. So for our Black Friday episode, which we record early because we're not recording on Thanksgiving, we are going to have a game show where each of us is going to bring 10 questions to the table and ask the other three those questions. And cumulatively, whoever has the most right will be able to bring a game into our Hall of Fame with no stipulations. So much like our March entry. Our March Madness entry. So if Tony wants to induct Mass Effect 2, and he wins this, this game show trivia contest.
To learn everything I can about video games, right there.
Mass Effect 2 will get in. No stipulations, and won't have to wait around until it is eligible. And, you know, Jeff can induct whatever the hell he wants to. So
yeah.
Game we never heard of.
Come on. Jeff has brought some pretty notable games. I'm the one that brings it. Like, who the fuck is Jungle Hunt? Yeah, so we're going to be doing that in 2 weeks. Next week, though, you'll just have more of these games, most likely. And hopefully that cheap ass gamer list will start fleshing out, and we'll know what's going to be on sale. That would be nice.
It would be nice.
All right, Jeff. Say good night.
Good night.